Luke chapter number 22. We're going to read a passage, several verses from that chapter, and then we'll also read a few verses from John chapter number 21. So Luke chapter 22, and then John chapter 21. The title of the message I'd like to bring this morning is Peter Walked with God in Love. And as I've been traveling on furlough here, I've been preaching a series of messages, even though you only get to hear one of them. My family is getting to hear all of them. So, but on walking with God. So today it's Peter walked with God in love. And so let's look at Luke chapter 22, verse 54, and we'll read down through verse 62. It says, "Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down amongst them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour afterward, another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before, or said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Then John chapter number 21, beginning in verse 15, we'll read down to verse 19. John 21, verses 15 through 19 says, So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he, or Peter, should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, saith unto him, Follow me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Apostle Peter. Thank you for this man who you used in such a great way, yet a man who had faults, had failures, who denied you three times. Lord, thank you for your great grace and your great forgiveness in Peter's life and in our lives as well. And Lord, we can certainly identify with Peter in many ways. Lord, help us to walk with you as Peter walked in love. And thank you for the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts, the love of Christ. But Lord, thank you that we can love you and that we should love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, walking with God, Peter, I think, is one that we could say certainly walked with the Lord. We know that he walked with the Lord physically for around 3 years, 3.5 years during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he walked with God spiritually. He walked in fellowship with the Lord, and God used him in a great way as he became one of the pastors, probably the lead pastor there in Jerusalem, at the Church of Jerusalem, and was used of God in so many ways, but in writing some of the epistles as well. But Peter was a great man in the sense that he let God use him. God used him in a great way. Now, Peter himself, we don't want to elevate the man, but we want to elevate the Lord, who used him in a great way, and he submitted to the Lord's leading in his life. So many things stand out about this man that reflect on biblical Christianity. And I want to take a short look at what maybe motivated him to live his life for the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk with God. And Peter is one of the most noted of the apostles. Very few people would not, that have any biblical background at all or associated with any church would not recognize the name of Peter, okay? And so along with James and John, of course, and he comprised what was, those three comprised what was known as the inner three or the inner circle of the disciples as Jesus was teaching them and leading them. But he was a bold man, the only man who ever had the boldness, or the only one of the disciples that had the boldness to step out of the boat and walk on the water. Lost his faith there for a moment as he saw the wind and the waves. Yet the other disciples, they didn't even get out of the boat, but he walked on the water. Peter was a brave man as well. Now, we just read the passage where he denied the Lord Jesus Christ, but I think we should look at the context of that as well, and the previous context of what had happened. But he was a brave man when that huge crowd of soldiers and people came to arrest the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter didn't run. What did he do? He drew his sword and began to fight. And Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, put away your sword." And so we see him being bold, being brave, but also used of God. And we thank the Lord for that. He's also known for his restoration, John chapter number 21, as we read there, as the Lord asked him, "Do you love me?" And Peter affirmed three times that he did love him and said, "Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus gave him instruction to feed his lambs, feed his sheep, and to, at the very end of that passage, he said, "Follow me," which he had said to Peter many years before, a number of years before, as he called him to serve him as a disciple. So who was this man, Simon Peter? Well, he was the brother of Andrew. We know that. He was a disciple of John. Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. And so Andrew was there when Jesus showed up to be baptized, and he heard John the Baptist proclaim and point to the Lord Jesus and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And so when he heard that and had met the Lord Jesus there, he hurried to find his brother Simon. And he told him, we found the Messiah. And he brought Peter to the Lord Jesus. And when Peter met Jesus, Jesus renamed him Cephas, or Peter. John chapter 1, verses 40 and 42 says, "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, 'Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas,' which is by interpretation a stone." And so the Lord gave him that name of Peter, or Cephas, and we know him by that name. Peter was really just a common man, though. He was a simple fisherman, just a hardworking laborer. And Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." Now, this is probably, I believe this was after they had met Jesus in conjunction with John's preaching. But they were just fishermen. That was their profession. And they were working hard there. But Jesus, of course, called him to follow him, called both of them. He said, "Follow me." Peter was a man that was probably not highly educated. He may have had something we would compare to an 8th grade education or so. He wasn't highly educated in the scriptures. He had not gone to Bible college. He hadn't gone to seminary, which they didn't have those things that they called them that back then. But he was not like the Pharisees or others that were the scribes that were educated in the scriptures. But he did know the scripture, some of the scriptures. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, when Peter and John have been arrested and they're before the council there, says, "And when they saw the boldness," Acts 4:13, "and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men." But then they marveled. It says they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And so Peter and John were simple fishermen. They hadn't been to the university, but they had been with Jesus, and they had learned so much from him, and now they had great boldness in preaching and proclaiming the gospel and were being used in such a great way. What makes Peter such an example to us that we would follow in his steps in walking with the Lord? One of those things is that he was a man that we can identify with. He was a man of many failures. And I can certainly say I can identify with that. I'm a man of many failures. I failed the Lord just as Peter did. He got ahead of God sometimes. His boldness made him open his mouth, and you know what we might call, as you read the Gospels and the accounts of Peter speaking before he's put his mind in gear, as my mother used to tell me, don't talk before your mind's working. But he had, we might say, chronic foot and mouth disease. He was always saying things that the Lord had to correct him about, or he had to take back, or whatever. But that boldness was used by God when it was submitted to the Lord. That boldness was used in a great way, as we saw there in that passage with the Pharisees, or the Sanhedrin. But he got ahead of God. Sometimes he got behind God. He rebuked the Lord. Now, I've never done that, but Peter did. He said, "Not so, Lord. This isn't going to happen." Jesus' response to that was, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You're being used of Satan." And so he rebuked the Lord, but he was greatly used of God. And I think we should focus, of course, on that, but realize that's encouraging to me, because God can use an imperfect person to do great things, because it's him that does the work. If he has a vessel that is submitted to him. And so there are numerous times that Peter did stick his foot in his mouth, and he received a rebuke from the Lord. And once later on, even as an apostle, after Jesus has ascension, he had to be rebuked by the apostle Paul. And so sometimes he spoke out of turn. But each time he failed, he received correction, but he continued to follow the Lord. And that's something we need to emulate as we walk with the Lord, is to follow him, follow close behind him. And when we do fail, when we need to get back on track and confess and forsake that sin and just go ahead. There's that song that we sing, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." That could be Peter's song, and many times that could be our song, I believe. But notice the song says also, "Prone to leave the God I love." And I believe Peter loved the Lord with all his heart, and he desired to please him. He desired to serve him, and we see him consistently walking with the Lord throughout his life. Despite his faults and his failures, Peter loved the Lord, and we should too. And John chapter 21 that we read there, verses 15 and 16, Peter twice, as Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" Peter used the word, "yea," a strong confirmation, a strong affirmation. "Yea, yes, Lord, I love you." In John chapter 21, we find the restoration as the Lord comforts him and says, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. I have a task for you to do. You've not washed out. You still have potential. I can still use you to feed the sheep, feed the believers." And Peter did that as the pastor of the church there at Jerusalem. But it's not that we don't love him. It's not that we do not love him, for how can we not love him? If we are truly saved, if for all that he's done for us, we should love him. That should be the natural response of our heart, is to love the Lord. It was neither by necessity nor constraint that caused Peter to be great in the sense of his serving the Lord, but I believe his motivation, if we really get down to the nitty-gritty of it, is that he loved the Lord. That was his desire, and that love is a great motivating factor. Love is what motivated God the Father to send his Son, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John chapter 21, verses 15 to 17 that we read there. But again, three times the Lord asked Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. And he was grieved because Jesus asked him a third time. He said, Lord, you know all things. You know my heart better than I do. In fact, the Bible tells us we can't know our own heart. Our heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Well, the Lord can know it. But the Lord knew Peter's heart, and Peter knew the Lord knew his heart. And he said, Lord, you know me. You know my heart. You know that I love you. And I think, of course, Jesus did know that he loved him. He's asking Peter those questions to help Peter understand that he truly did love the Lord, and that even though he denied the Lord three times, and he had really given up. In the context of this second passage that we didn't really deal with was Peter said to the other disciples, I go a-fishing. And he didn't mean, I'm going to take a day off and go fishing for a while and relax. He meant, I'm going back to fishing. I've failed the Lord. I've denied him. And I'm just going to go back to my profession. I'm going to go back to being a fisherman. And Jesus shows up on the shore, of course, and again works the miracle of another great draught of fishes. And Peter jumps out of the boat and he says, it's the Lord. And, of course, Jesus has some fish on the fire, and then Jesus asks him these questions. And so the Lord restores him and assures him that I can use you. I've got a job for you. Even though you denied me, I have something for you to do. Do you love me, Peter? And he pulls that out of Peter, and Peter realizes, yes, I do love the Lord, and I can do something for him. And he went forward to do that. Praise the Lord that he did. And so Peter walked with God in that situation there of from that time on. Peter walked with God through conversion initially. John chapter 1 verses 40 to 44. We read that about Peter meeting the Lord there as his brother brought him to the Lord Jesus, as he saw John the Baptist point him out. The Bible does not say that the disciples were converted. When the disciples were converted, when Peter was converted, or when John was converted, most likely they were Old Testament saints already. They'd already trusted the Lord, but now the Messiah has been revealed. You know, his brother comes to him and says, Andrew comes and says, we found the Messiah. So they've been looking for the Messiah. They've been trusting in the Messiah to come. Well, now he's come, and they know they have now the object of their faith in the future. He is there now. And so Andrew came to Peter and said that he'd found the Messiah. Peter immediately came to Christ. And our walk in love with God began when? When we trusted Christ as Savior. And from that moment on, Peter never forgot that great love and never got over that great love that God had for him. And he loved the Lord in response. And if one does not love God, they're really under God's judgment. And we can't walk with God in love and love the world at the same time. Jesus said, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. If you don't love the Lord, you don't really have a relationship with him. And so we need to love him. Peter walked with God in love through conversion. Because of his conversion, because he was saved, he loved the Lord. And that motivated him. Peter also walked with God in love, in commitment to the Lord. Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. Mark 1, 16 to 18. Now, as he, that's Jesus, walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Peter, as I said earlier, was a hardworking fisherman. That was his profession. It was his family business with his brother and probably his father. And when our Lord said, come after me, Peter immediately left all of that. That takes love. He didn't just follow the Lord for a day or two. No, he left his profession. he left the fishing boat with his father, and he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. He was motivated by love and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. God does not require everyone to leave father and mother and brothers and sisters and houses and lands, but walking with God in love may require that, and all of us need to be willing to say to the Lord, Lord, whatever it is that you want me to do, I will do, because I love you. Being committed to him completely. Peter was committed enough to suffer death through crucifixion, church history tells us, and Jesus told, told him that that was what was going to happen, that he would be led away to a place that he did not want to go. But Peter walked with God in love, in commitment. Another way I believe we could say that Peter walked with God is he walked with God in love with the Lord in conflict. when there was conflict. John chapter 6, verses 67 to 69. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? The crowds began to leave the Lord Jesus. Many had followed him, not because they loved him, not because they knew him. They came to see the show. They came to see the miracles. And they were drawn to that. But they began to see that things were not, most of the people of Israel and the disciples themselves, what was their concept of the Messiah? Well, they were looking for a political leader who would come and lead them in rebellion against the Romans and set them free from the political oppression they were under and set up a kingdom. Well, would the Lord Jesus do that? Yes, but not then. He came first to be the suffering servant, as we see in Isaiah. And then later on, he will come and he will set up his political kingdom and he will rule and reign upon this earth. I'm looking forward to that day. But when they began to realize that that wasn't what Jesus was going to do, many just left. And Jesus says to the disciples, will ye also go away? To the 12, verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That great proclamation, this was what was in Peter's heart, and he walked with God in the midst of conflict because he knew who Jesus was. He knew that he had that relationship with him. There's no one else we can go to for eternal life. Only the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so Peter had a hold of that truth. And as many turned their backs on Christ, Peter, along with the other disciples, continued to walk with him in love. And they were motivated by their love for Christ. There may come times of difficulty in our lives when we face conflict, and it will require a decision to be made concerning our love for the Lord and our walk with him. And I hope that you and I will be like Peter and continue to walk with God in the midst of those times of conflict. I believe that Paul said it all in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, when he said this, for the love of God constraineth me. What does constrain mean? It means to control, to hold. And Paul said, the love of Christ, Christ's love for me and my love for him constrains me. It controls what I say. It controls what I do. It directs my life. And it keeps me on focus. It keeps me on track. It keeps me on course, as Paul said in another place. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he had a focus. The Apostle Paul had a focus. Peter, I believe, as well, had a focus because of his great love for the Lord Jesus and of Christ's great love for him. The love of others for us and the love of the Lord for us should motivate us to want to please him, to want to serve him. I remember something happened as I was a junior boy, I don't know how old, probably 10 or 11 years old. And my mother, we had a big family. There were eight of us children and my mom and dad. So almost always somebody was in the house. But one day I found myself as the only one in the house, and I was kind of bored and didn't have anything to do, really, and I thought, well, I'd like to look at some of the family pictures. And the family pictures were in the top drawer of my mother's dresser. And my mother had told us, all of her children, as she said, now, you're welcome to come look at these pictures and, you know, get into this drawer, but I don't want you in my bedroom looking into my drawers unless I'm here and you have my permission. Well, I didn't have her permission and she wasn't there. But I went in and I had the drawer open and I was taking, you know, they had these little old pictures from the 50s and the 60s that a lot of times they would print your pictures and they put them in a little booklet that was a spiral bound thing and you could look at the pictures. Anyway, I was looking at pictures, enjoying myself. Well, suddenly I heard somebody come in the door of the house. And I was disobeying my mother because I was in that drawer in her room when I did not follow her instructions. And so I put the pictures back in the drawer and I slammed the drawer shut to hurry out of the room. Well, just as I slammed the drawer shut, it shook the dresser and there was one of those tall decorative candles that was in a glass jar they used to have in the, you know, back a long time ago. I guess they still have them. I don't know. But anyway, It was something that my father, that had passed away, my mother had remarried later, but it was something my father had given her before he died, something very precious to her. Well, when I slammed the drawer shut, that candle fell off and it broke. And at that moment, my mother walked through the door. And she saw that happen. And she began to cry. And that tore my heart out. Not that I just disobeyed, but that I had hurt my mother. And I loved my mother, and I knew she loved me, and I didn't want to hurt her, but I realized I'd done that. And it's something that I remember to this day. You know, brothers and sisters in Christ, when we disobey our Lord, it hurts His heart. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And that ought to tear our hearts out. We need to walk with God in love. Lastly, I want to look at this morning. Peter walked with God in love through continuation. Through continuation. John chapter 21, as Jesus spoke to the end of that passage, verses 18 and 19. Jesus said to Peter, after he had asked him if he loved him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake Jesus, signifying by what death he, that's Peter, should glorify God. And when he had spoken thus, he said unto him, "Follow me." And so Peter did end up being a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he continued on throughout his life, following the Lord Jesus Christ, walking with Christ. When the Lord prophesied Peter's martyrdom, Peter never flinched. He didn't object. Peter was willing to walk with Christ in life, and he was willing to walk with Christ in death. Luke chapter 22, verse 33, and he said, Peter had said to Jesus before his crucifixion, he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." And Peter meant that, I believe, and that ended up being what Peter did. He walked with the Lord in life, and he was in prison sometimes, and he followed the Lord in death. But Peter meant those words, and even though he denied the Lord shortly after that, I believe it was not from fear, but rather from anger and disappointment. Peter wanted to defend the Lord there when he pulled his sword and began to fight. Cut off the servant of the high priest's ear, Malchus, I believe his name was. But, Jesus said, "No, Peter, put away your sword." And Peter may have been upset over that, disappointed over that the Lord Jesus is not going to become a king. He's going to go to the cross. But we see Peter, fighting there. But Jesus told Peter to put away the sword because it was the will of the Father that he go to the cross. And that's why he came, to suffer for us and to shed his blood so that we could have eternal life, so that Peter could have eternal life. And so Peter, I believe, may have been, just my opinion, but I think Peter probably was resentful of this and carried out that denial out of pride and resentment. And what is resentment? Resentment is a prideful attitude, because I've been offended, because I've been hurt, because I'm angry. And walking with God in love, you know, what happened when Peter realized what he'd done? When the cock crew, he went out and wept bitterly. He realized what he had done. And thank the Lord that Jesus restored him. And Peter was used of God to walk with him and to serve him for many, many years. But walking with God in love has no end. Think about that. It is to live for Christ until our last breath is taken, but also walking with him in love for all eternity. We're going to get to be with him forever. And that's going to be a wonderful time. We're all looking forward to that. I love this. Love the hymn, "When We Walk with the Lord." When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still. He's always with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. And with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. Total commitment. Peter walked with God in commitment. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, looking to the future, when we're with him, then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Are you walking with the Lord Jesus today? Are you walking in love? Are you walking in commitment? Are you walking in service? It needs to be true of every one of us that know Christ. If you're here this morning and you're not walking with the Lord because you say, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I've never received him. There's an opportunity for you to do that this morning. You can seek out someone, and we'd be glad, several people here would be glad to take a Bible and show you how you can trust Christ as your Savior and receive the gift of eternal life. But those of us that know him need to be walking with him, serving him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Peter. Thank you that I can see myself in him. And Lord, thank you that you can use me, you can use Peter as you used Peter. Thank you that you can use each one that is sitting here that knows you for your glory to reach others with the gospel. And Lord, I pray that you would work in each of our hearts, that we would be committed, that we would trust and obey your word. We would trust and obey the guidance and direction of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would have your will this morning in our lives. Help us as we continue to serve you, whether here or in Canada or wherever it may be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.